when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Hold on. I think they're off for a minute. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our show. This is Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. Second theme, healthy aging. Great show today to continue to celebrate Earth Day. Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for calling. I'm Bobby Elias. We have a great guest today. Susan Bass is a vice president at the Earth Day Network, and she is online, and she'll be with us today talking about the program, what they're doing, the environment, climate change. We're going to go over a lot of things. Here's a phone number to call if you would like to call on your phone and hear the show as opposed to just the internet. The phone number, take this down, and I'll repeat it at the end of the show, and as well as give my number. The number to call to hear the show is area 605-562-5119. My number, 323-770-1925. Always like to hear your ideas, suggestions, your thoughts, what you like about the show. And the next few weeks, we're going to get really into aging, healthy aging. We're going to get into exercise, walking, yoga, foods to eat, and staying young. Towards the end of the show, we have time. We're going to go over, we have a letter from what Dr. Richard Schultz put together. We'll speak about that at the end of the show. As far as what dead patients would have told him had they listened to him. It's a great little thing. As well, I'm going to give some information on superfoods, greens, and describe each of the foods and what they do for you in a brief way. All right, let's get to our show today about the environment, Earth Day. And again, I'm speaking to the Earth Day Network Senior Vice President, Susan Bass. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bobby. It's great to be with you as part of our celebration of our 45th anniversary of Earth Day.
Great, great. First, tell me a little bit about how you got into this type of work, and then go right into what the program that you represent goes through and does.
Sure. So back in the 70s when I was in college, I was very interested in the issue of human rights, international human rights, and I work with groups like Amnesty International. Then fast forward into law school, and at that time the environmental movement was just really getting off the ground, and there weren't many environmental courses in law school, and when I graduated, everyone said you really had to go into kind of corporate and the business areas to kind of prove yourself as a lawyer. But I was still very interested in human rights, and I kept looking for a job opportunity in that area. And I was especially interested in the Latin American region, and I started talking to a lot of nonprofits. And in most parts of the world, the environmental issues and human rights issues are linked. It's only in this country that we kind of put them in separate baskets. And anyway, eventually I found my way to an environmental nonprofit called the Environmental Law Institute, which was just launching its program in Latin America. And I started there, had a very successful and exciting program that I ran developing environmental law and policy projects in the Latin American region for about 15 years. And then I was recruited to come to the Earth Day Network, which is where I am today.
Good, good. How long has the Earth Day Network been around? And tell me, give us our listeners an idea of some of the work that you do. I know your group does a lot of things all year round. And I know, let's just start with the Earth Day events that you talk about, and then just tell us more about the organization, please.
Sure. So Earth Day Network grew out of the original Earth Day. Our Earth Day was, as many people know, was founded by Senator Gaylord Nelson in 1970 when we were facing the massive oil spills in Santa Barbara. And Senator Nelson realized that if he could take the energy of the student anti-war movement and channel that energy and consciousness around environmental issues, that he could really mobilize a national movement. And originally he thought about organizing it as a teach-in on the environment, so because of the student movement. But and he brought on co-chair Pete McCloskey, who was a Republican congressman at the time, and then Dennis Hayes as the national coordinator. And eventually the first Earth Day brought out 20 million people to rallies and events around the country. Many years later, Earth Day Network was founded as the organization to kind of spearhead Earth Day activities around the globe, as well as now we have year-round activities on environmental education, voter registration, and other policy and advocacy campaigns.
And what exactly, what are some of your duties, and what have you been doing recently with the organization?
Sure. So I kind of spend my time overseeing our program. So as I said, Earth Day is our flagship program, and we just came off of, and we're still involved in, a number of activities for 2015. It's 2015 is a really big year for us because we have two major events coming up. In September, we have the United Nations announcing the new Sustainable Development Goals. And most importantly, in December, we have the world leaders meeting in Paris to hopefully adopt a binding treaty to address climate change. So Earth Day Network put together a whole series of activities for in honor of Earth Day this year, global activities. We had our flagship event last Saturday on the National Mall, and that joins thousands of events across the country that we organize under the theme of It's Our Turn to Lead. We're working with mayors in our Green Cities campaign. We help them organize town forums. We have a global petition on climate change. We are also organizing a Climate Education Week, which has an online education toolkit for students. And so, and we have a lot of faith-based activities as well for communities of faith to talk in their congregations and do activities around Earth Day.
Well, that sounds great. I would like to see if you could slowly give out any major Earth Day events coming up this weekend, and if you have them handy, if not, and also give out a number. I know we'll do this at the end, but where how people can get information about what's going on in their areas.
Sure. So one of the huge events that's happening this weekend is Earth Day Texas is having their big event in Dallas, and they're going to have a huge crowd there. And probably the best way, though, for people to find out, because there are so many activities happening across the nation, is to go to our webpage, www.earthday.org, and we have an event registry there. And if they go online, they'll be able to see some of the activities that are happening there.
Great, great. Your group does a lot of great work. I'm really happy to have you on the show. For those of you coming in a little bit late, my name is Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World. Our second theme is Healthy Aging. And we are speaking with the Senior Vice President of Earth Day Network, Susan Bass. All right, Susan, let's get right into the issues and problems. At the end of the show, towards the end, we want to talk about solutions. But right now, I'd like to hear your thoughts on what, and it could be tied in with what your organization is doing, but mostly, what are the main major problems with the environment? Let me say this briefly, and I may make a comment afterwards. There's so many, and the environment to me covers the land, the air, the water we drink, the climate, and the animals, the plants, trees, the fish, the species all over the world, including human beings. We're just another species. So I'd like to get your thoughts on, or your information on, what are the major problems of the environment, and then I want to chime in with what you're saying and maybe add something to it. Go right ahead.
Sure. So let me start first with the good news, and I think the good news is that following the first Earth Day in the United States, in many countries around the world, we were able to pass what we call kind of the first generation of environmental laws, and as a result, our water is safer to drink today, our air is cleaner, and we have addressed a lot of the hazardous and solid waste problems that our country was facing in the 60s. What's happening now, though, is we have a new generation of environmental problems that are more complex, more far-reaching, and require different types of solutions, ranging from behavioral change to legal strategies. So right now, what the biggest problem facing our world is global climate change, and that has impacts on everything you talked about. It has impacts on our cities, our oceans, our forests, our biodiversity, and really it's deserving of everyone's attention right now.
Wow, yes it is, and it's a big, big issue. And, about 8 years ago in Colombia, I know you did some work in Latin America, so you might know this, but 8 years ago, Bechtel, a big American corporation, went to Colombia, and there's a huge, huge mountains there that bring out wonderful spring water. I mean, not spring water, mineral water, the best water, the water that people drink and live to be in their over 100 years old. Many people, it's just a fountain of youth. It's the water is so, so good. Bechtel went to the government and made a deal to take over the water, to privatize it.
Mm-hmm.
To buy it, but the people didn't like that. Not only the people of Colombia, but nearby countries, Ecuador, Peru, and others, the whole South America region protested, as well as around the world. And they finally got the Bechtel to leave the country, and they also got the president out of office. And this was a major issue.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the natives said. I want your thoughts on this. Here's what the natives said. They couldn't believe it. Somebody come in and buy our water, and we have to pay for our water. These were poor people. And here's what their philosophy is, the natives. The philosophy is the land, all these things belong to the people. The earth, the land, the plants, the trees, the animals, the rocks. Yes, the rocks, they're spiritual too. The air and the wind, the rain. The mountains, the ocean, the water that goes down in the oceans, it's all ours. It belongs to humanity, not to some company to come in and buy it and turn around and sell it at a high price to us. And this was their philosophy. I'd like to get your thoughts on that and other issues of that sort.
Sure. And I certainly agree that all of us in every community deserve the opportunity to benefit from the natural resources that we have in our communities, and I think that's true wherever you are, whether it's in Colombia or the U.S. or China. And I think the challenge is that humankind has not been kind to its natural resources and has not properly managed its resources, and it's polluted its resources, it's overused its resources. We haven't recycled. And so the question then becomes, how do we manage our resources? Who manages them? And how do we fund these programs? And I think, you know, at some point, someone now has to manage our resources, because what we've done by leaving them to the general population and to private business unmanaged is that we've, as I said, we've not been kind to them. So I think there's a real challenge in trying to figure out the most effective systems in each country. And every country is different. Every municipality is different. Some municipalities have come up with very effective publicly managed water systems. And actually, in some cases, some people have come up with very effective local privately managed systems. And I think each community, though, has to work to figure out how they do that and make sure that, you know, that as you said, that the people benefit and that the benefit of those resources goes back to the local community.
That's beautiful. My name is Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World, and I'm speaking to Susan Bass. She's a senior vice president of Earth Day Network. Earth Day Network does a lot of great work, especially around the Earth Day activities and just the whole environment issue and climate change, of course. All right, and I do, the next few issues I want to talk about, I'll let you know ahead of time, is that your director's visit with the Pope and what happened there. We're going to talk about solutions. And I also want to talk about some of the new things that you think your organization is doing and can do. And I know you said you had a lot of things that your group is doing now, and you're very, very busy and very active. So first, let's start with your director's visit with the Pope. And that your director's name is Catherine Rogers. Is that
yes,
right?
That's right. Yes. So Earth Day Network has been working with the faith-based communities for many years in doing our work. And all of the religions have really recognized the importance of conserving our natural resources as part of their official doctrine. And that includes the Catholic Church. What's exciting, I think, is that with the Pope Francis coming into his position, he's really brought so many issues into the popular conscience, and he's really connected some of the dots for a lot of people in bringing together the idea of addressing poverty and development. And so he has announced that he's going to be having a major conference about these issues, and then he's going to be issuing an encyclical on climate change later this year. And so on the occasion of Earth Day, he decided to start making his comments and really raising these issues in the public. And our president was invited to be with a small group of people as he celebrated Earth Day in St. Peter's Square at the Vatican. And so she had the opportunity to actually meet with him and talk about the importance of these issues, which is so exciting because he really is the spiritual and moral leader of billions of people around the earth.
Yeah, this Pope seems to be doing more than previous popes, especially on progressive issues. And what you're saying is that he really would like to see change and help with the environment and climate change. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think people really respect him. He walks the talk, as they say, and he's just generated so much respect and adoration. I think it's also very exciting because he has the respect and adoration of young people around the world, and I think many people have questioned religion, no matter what faith tradition they come from, and wondered about its relevance to their lives. And Pope Francis has made climate and the environment major issues now, and so I think a lot of young people really can connect with that and to get energized about it. And he is challenging people to really take action, not just to talk the talk.
Wow, that's great. This is progress, and we're going to come to solutions in a short while. But tell me about some of the new activities that your group is doing and some of the plans for the future for the group Earth Day Network.
Sure. So as I mentioned, there's going to be this major conference on climate change in December. One of the things we're doing right now is we're running a petition on our website, and we're calling for cities to be 100% renewable to use 100% renewable energy by 2050. So we're asking people to go on our website and to sign that so that we can really tell the world that this is what people are demanding of their leaders and that they really need to take action. I think mayors in all of our cities are at the front lines of this work, and they need to hear from their constituents what they want to do. And so it's up to us to raise our voices and tell them now that this is what we can do. We know this is possible, and they have to make the investments and decisions today to take this action.
Wow, that's great. Now, you know, we know that activities are going on around the country on Earth Day now. But I'd like to have you tell me some of the areas of around the country that are doing some major issues on the environment and climate change, as far as going to court or fighting the system, or just doing some positive things in around the country. If you could name a few areas and what they're doing.
Sure. So there's lots of things that are happening. We have everyone for one of the commitments that was made as part of our program on the National Mall was the, actually this is a worldwide commitment and includes the United States, but it's the Boy Scouts. And they have committed 1 billion hours of service to work on tree planting and other activities. They've also adopted a new Earth Day badge, and so that every scouting group and troop across the country is now going to be focused on working on this, which is really exciting. We also have a new campaign that's going to be registering 1 million climate voters for the 2016 election, and we're working with the NAACP, Southwest Voter Registration and Education Project, and the League of Conservation Voters. And we will be going out into communities and states across the country and getting people on the rolls, the voter registration rolls, and at the same time educating them about climate so that they will be asking their political leaders to take a stand and make it known what their positions are on climate so that in 2016, we can build a Congress that's going to support action on climate change.
You know, Susan, this show is called Let's Create a Better World. Our station, Progressive Radio Network, we have a lot of very progressive people, but also we have people that want change, that want to come up with solutions, people that are activists, people that do a lot of things. And we'll talk more about that towards the latter part of our segment here. But I would like to... As far as activism, what do you see going on as far as any major battles going on or anything that's going on wrong in the country and people are taking action to do something about it? I have one or two things that I'm thinking about, but I'd like to get your take
on
that.
Sure. Well, people are still very active on the Keystone Pipeline controversy. That's a national controversy that's happening. But I think there's also, battles in different communities. Here in D.C., we have a utility that's coming in, an outside utility coming that's trying to do a takeover, and people believe that will limit our opportunities for renewable energy. So, there's a battle about that. In Georgia, They have kind of the green tea party going on because some of the utilities down there are trying to limit, again, the renewable energy options. So you actually have the environmentalists joining with the Tea Party folks to keep those rights going. So we have people who are on the front lines, I think, you know, in every state now, really kind of pushing for these issues. People want clean, renewable energy. They want these options, and whether they have to battle their utilities or they have to elect the proper leaders, but they're all calling for action right now.
That is great. I'm really happy to hear that. I didn't know that, and I would like to follow up with that on in the future, not only with your organization, but possibly you mentioned several major organizations that are taking a stand and doing, working with the whole entire environment movement to improve their people, their organization, and what they're doing. This is great. I'd like to hear more about
that. Yeah, sure. I should also add our other partner on the Million Climate Voters is the NAACP Voter Fund. So we're really reaching out to different voices, different constituencies to join together for action on climate change.
That's good to hear. Diversity is very important, and there's so many segments to get left out of a lot of things. But now I want to change it to another issue that's really dear to my heart, and it's, I'm sure it's all categorized part of the whole environment movement, and that is organic farming. Let me say this. There is a lot of young people and people all over, of all ages actually. There are community gardens that are sprouting up all over the country, and there are people that are growing their own food, not only in community gardens, but in their own homes. There are people here in Southern California where I live that are teaching us to not only plant food in their backyard, but even some in the front yard, and even in certain places in the house. And this is very important because this food is not non-GMO. It's chemical-free for the most part. It's much better food. Grow your own, save a lot of money, and really just it helps the whole entire movement. I'd like your thoughts and anything else you can tell me about that with you and your organization.
Sure. So we totally agree. We think organic, locally produced food is the way of the future. And one of the strategies that we've been pushing is for school systems to really integrate healthy, organic, locally produced food into their schools. And they're doing it. We actually helped D.C. pass a law a few years back here to promote healthy, organic school food. And there are so many creative people, whether they're chefs or school food managers, who are trying to do that. They've established greenhouses in a lot of the schools and school gardens. They've established connections with, there's the USDA has a farm to school program where they're bringing kids out to the farms to teach them about the organically produced food. They're connecting them to local farmers markets. And I think this is really exciting because they're not only providing healthier food for children and having them, which impacts the way they learn, but they're also instilling healthy eating habits in the kids and the school administrators, teachers, and the greater community.
Great. That's so much well needed. Now, does your group or let's say somebody calls in from some part of the country and says they would like to learn or find out a way to talk to their school system about healthier food, not just the kind of food we're talking about, organic food, but also just healthier, period, because a lot of schools still feed very bad diets of food and bad preserved things with GMO'd and just bad. Plain bad. And what would you, if somebody called you and wanted to know about what's going on there, does your organization give out names and or companies in their area that are doing something along those lines? Or
sure. I think we could, you know, direct people to resources. As I said, you know, there's a lot of farmers markets that are organizing in communities across the country. A lot of the federal agencies actually run programs that have information about the either the farm-to-school programs or a lot of the healthier school programs, and there are a lot of resources that are available right now, as well as a number of organizations that are working on these issues in different communities and nationally. So the good news is there is a lot of information for people who are interested in making these types of changes in their schools and in their communities and in their homes.
Yeah, Susan, you said, and by the way, for our listeners, this is Susan Bass. She is a vice president with Earth Day Network, senior vice president, and given us a full report on what's going on during last week and this week coming up as far as Earth Day activities. When we're talking about the environment, we're talking about climate change, we're talking about, and what I like about you is you're giving me a lot of positive solutions, and we're going to get into more of that in a minute. But I want to, you touched on a word, farmers markets, a subject matter that's very dear to our hearts, and we want to get somebody at farmers markets on our show again to talk about the entire movement of farmers markets around the country, because they're sprouting up all over the place, and this is better food. Tell me your relationship or the environment relationship, or just tell me, give our listeners a little more perspective on farmers markets and how they're tied up to the environment and all the good that comes out of this.
Sure, and the farmers markets really are spreading their impact. One of the interesting things now is that there's a program called SNAP, which allows low-income families to have coupons where they can shop at farmers markets, which is really great, making, you know, a lot of concern people had is that the food that's produced and sold at farmers market may not be accessible for low-income families, but now there is a program that provides them with that opportunities. But I think farmers markets, people have, and they've really become also a great social gathering place and a place for education. And so people are, you know, they're growing rapidly. And I think they're one of the great ways also to help support sustainable agriculture in our communities, because now the farmers have a direct market to sell their products and right to the public and to educate the public. Again, I think we've lost touch with a lot of the diversity of the produce that is available and some of the products, and young people don't even know some of the fresh fruits that are available and fresh vegetables, and they're rediscovering them through farmers markets.
That's a wonderful big movement, farmers markets, and we need to get the word out more on those, and this is why I want to get to some farmers markets leaders and talk about what's going on in the country and how we can get more farmers markets in more communities and teach people, because this food is fresh. Most of the farmers markets, they get their foods and bring them the same day. The worst,
right,
maybe the day before, but quite often that morning they get them together and bring them. And you're talking about fresh foods, which is so important, as opposed to foods in all the stores, including health stores. It's been sitting there, the fruits and vegetables sitting there for 2-3, as much as over a week. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's healthy? Of course not. That's all the minerals, vitamins, supplements, nutrients are gone. I mean, they're just not there, period. So you want fresh foods, and I always tell people farmers markets are the best. Again, go to them. All right, let's go to another issue, and that is... where are my notes here? About the more new things that are going on. I know you have a lot of things that your group is doing. Tell me, where do you think the environment movement should be 5 years from now? What is you and your group want to do in the next 5 years as far as, because so far you've drawn up a lot of positive things that are happening that most of us, including myself, didn't know. But get into that more as far as... some of the goals and plans for the next 5 years, not only your group, but just in the environment movement in general.
Sure. I think, well, as I mentioned, we want to develop a large constituency of both climate and environmental voters. So it's very important for us as we're registering young people and new constituencies to vote, that we educate them about our environmental issues so we can send a message in our state legislatures, to our mayors, and to our federal officials about the future and agenda that we want, and whether it's action on climate change, renewable energy, action on our oceans. Actually, our oceans are really suffering these days, whether it's ocean acidification from climate change or whether it's from marine debris. We really need to focus on our oceans because of the, not only do they provide a huge amount of the food that we eat, but they serve as a recreational opportunity, and a lot of people make their income, whether it's from tourism or fishing or other ways of life that depend on the ocean. And so we really need to be getting people to take actions that protect our oceans.
Yeah, I want to talk about our oceans and our lakes, and not only in this country, but around the world. There's the oceans, for example, in this country, there are places and people that dump trash, garbage,
junk,
and into the ocean. And this has been going on for years. Yeah, there's groups and thing up fights to try to slow that down, but it's still there and it's pretty bad. And as you probably know, the air from Fukushima 4 years ago has gotten worse and worse, and it's all over the in the ocean. So pretty much the majority of, in fact, not all of the sea life is radiated and not very healthy to eat. But I want to talk about the ocean, about how, for example, people throw plastic in the ocean, and dolphins pick that up. They put it in their mouths, and they choke on it. They choke to death on plastics. This is not good. And there's many, many more things of that sort that are going on where the animals, the sea life is just being dying. And many species have died. They're showing up on shores everywhere. So I'd like to know from you, not only your organization, but more so resources and what's going on in the movement and other organizations to improve that situation, please.
Sure. So I think there are a number of parties that need to take action and change to address our ocean's problems. I think it begins, as you said, with individuals, I think, and raising awareness that we can no longer use our oceans as a trash can. And even though they look wide and all-encompassing, you know, we can no longer use them just to dispose things. But beyond that, I think our businesses need to start developing products that are biodegradable. I think there is a movement, and we will be seeing businesses creating containers and other, you know, disposable products that will no longer live forever in our oceans and create a waste product. And then finally, we need our governments to start enforcing a lot of the laws. In a lot of countries, including in some of the biggest polluters of plastics, there already are laws on the books that prohibit businesses, individuals, boats, yachts, cruise ships from polluting. And what we need is we need enforcement of those laws. And we were very excited. One of the big commitments that was made at our event on the National Mall was the Global Environment Facility is dedicating $200 million to help build the capacity in countries to do that kind of cleanup and enforcement. So there are a number of parties that need to work together to address this problem, but we really need to start doing it now.
Yeah, okay, I want to bring up another issue. We mentioned some of the leaders around the world, and one of the people that we admire and have talked about on this show, and we've even talked to some of her people on this show, and that is a lady named Dr. Vandana Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
She is in India. She's doing a lot of great work, and she was interviewed Wednesday, Earth Day, on our biggest show, the Gary Noel Show, and it was all about Earth Day and about the people like her and who talk about it. I'd like to get your take on her, what she's doing, And then I have to add something to that. Go right ahead.
Sure. So we are very happy, actually, to have our only international office in India. And they had a major Earth Day commemoration this year. They have programs going in 45 cities across India, and they had campaigns addressing issues from recycling to renewables to waste management. They also have produced a book, a new online book, that's called Pathways to Green Cities, Innovative Ideas from Urban India. And so there is some really exciting news, I think, coming out of India about, I think, the people of India now are really interested in living in a cleaner environment and holding their leaders accountable. And they're starting to really mobilize. And I think leaders like Vandana Shiva are, you know, pushing that movement. And I think they've got a ways, you know, to go. But it's the movement has definitely been launched there, and it's very exciting to see what they're doing.
You know, speaking of movements, I know you said you were in college in the 70s, and if you recall in the 70s, I was against the war in Vietnam with a lot of young, we were in college and high school. Yes, we had young high school kids because Latinos, I am Latino,
mm-hmm.
getting killed more than anyone in the war because, you know, young men are so macho. But our movement and the whole entire, we made a pact. I was really involved in the anti-war movement, and I put together the largest resist the draft campaign. We had 12 different regions in the country that were doing the same thing, and myself and our little group in California led it. But what I'm trying to say is the movement is important. And a person like Dr. Vandana Shiva, she is, I believe, Doctor of Humanities. So some people call her Vandana Shiva. I call her Dr. Vandana Shiva. It doesn't matter. But the point is, a leader like that, one person can just get the whole thing rolling the same way that Mother Teresa many years ago got the giving moved out there, the way Gandhi had peace and mediation out there, the way Dr. King put together and really got the civil rights movement going. And what Vandana Shiva is really, just what you said, all the activity going on in India has to be inspired by not only her, but a lot of her proteges, people that have learned from her. And this is what we need, Susan. We need people to step up big organizations and lead and take charge, and so more people will get in the bandwagon. So let's get some of your thoughts on that, please.
Sure, and I think that's why, actually, that was the theme of Earth Day 2015 this year, was it's our turn to lead. And basically, we want everyone to take a leadership role and to step up, and I think we agree that we're looking for leaders in our country, in the U.S., to take on these issues. We're hoping that in the presidential election, environmental issues and climate issues will be a major issue that's discussed and that people will take that on. But as you say, it's not only in government, it's in social movements and in religious movements that we really need people to step up and talk about these issues and mobilize their constituents. But I think it's not limited to any one person. We've had some amazing, inspiring leaders, but I think everyone needs to ask themselves, how can I lead on this issue?
Right. One more thing about Vandana Shiva. She is operating with, here in Los Angeles, we have a big organic farm out by the beach, run by David King. He's very close to her, and they're working on some campaigns called Save the Seeds. What do you know about that, and is your group doing informed of that and what they're doing as far, because this is all part of the environment, I think.
Sure. I'm not that familiar with the Save the Seed campaign, but I think, you know, it's very important, you know, to have heirloom seeds. There are a lot of wonderful products that have been developed in communities across the world, and a lot of these seeds and plants are adapted to specific climates, and not only are they grow appropriately in that climate and resist, you know, whatever the pests and other things are, but they're also incredibly tasty and beautiful, and they represent a lot of our culture and the diversity of our culture. So we support all of that, as we do with the organic and local, as a part of the organic and local agriculture campaign.
Susan, you're very articulate, and you speak so well of all these issues. I'm so happy that you're on this show. You told me that your group got requests for lots of all over the country, including a Spanish-speaking company. Tell us about that, how all the different organizations call you and what they wanted and what happened with that, please.
So we have worked with partners in about 25,000 different partners and partner organizations that we work with around the world in 192 countries. We
wow.
work with our different partners in different ways. We have an organizer's handbook that we make available online. And I also mentioned that we work with our teachers network by creating curriculum that's available online. And we also have online resources for the faith community. So we try to create online resources that are available for people who want to be activists, whether they're faith people of faith or they're teachers or they're just neighborhood activists.
Susan, I have to commend you. You're very, very positive on all the issues. You've hardly ever said anything wrong or blasted anybody. You're a real, what I call more of a passive activist, which doesn't mean bad. It means you're more into the positive issues, and because this is what our show does, the same thing. So I like that about you and our discussion today. But I'd like you to finish up. We're just finishing the whole segment now. Take 2 or 3 minutes. Tell us about some of the solutions of what we can all do about the environment, about climate change, about the problems with the land, water, air, sea, species, and what your group is doing, but just more of a solutions kind of an answer for me, please.
Sure. So we have a campaign that's called A Billion Acts of Green that we're doing, and what we are asking people to do is it's on our website, and we are giving people ideas of different steps and actions that they can take to address these problems. And we're asking people to not only to do the actions, but to register their actions so that we can demonstrate the impact that actions will have when they're aggregated. It's very important to us that, number one, that people sign our petition and we raise our voices about climate change. This is the issue of our generation. This is the issue that's going to determine whether there is a next generation and there's a planet and resources to support that next generation. So we really want people to get educated on the issue and then raise their voices about the issue by signing our petition, but also calling on their elected leaders to take action on it. Then there are basically, you know, steps that people can take in their everyday life to change their behavior that really can have a great impact. And so, and we have all those available, whether it's recycling, looking at the form of transportation you use, deciding among your consumer choices, buying locally produced agriculture and food, and there are a number of other options that we list on there. So there's a lot people can do. I think we are positive. We believe there is time, and that when people are educated and aware about the issue, we can all really make a difference.
I'm very impressed by the positive solutions, the attitude, and all the things that your group is doing. It's really pleasure to have you. Could you give your contact information for all of us, and please read the numbers or whatever you want to give slowly so we can all get them as far as web, phone number, or whatever else they
sure.
can, you can get.
Sure. So
us.
Again, it's the Earth Day Network, and our website is www.earthday.org, and our phone number, our general line, is 202-518-0044.
Great. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us, and good luck with everything you're doing. And I do want to stay in touch with your group about future events so we can announce them on our show and put them on our website.
Wonderful.
Thank you again.
Thank you for having us for the 45th, Bobby, and good luck.
Good luck with all the work you're doing. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Very good. Well, that's wonderful. She is really spoke very well about all the issues. Gave a lot of good, short, but to the point answers on all the different issues. Gave us a chance to cover a lot of territory, and we did. All right. I want to let you know that in the next few weeks, well, first of all, I'm not through with the show yet. I want to talk about some major issues, a letter from dead people on what they should have done to stay alive. A mythical letter, but what people told this one doctor they should have done, and then they wind up dying, of course, because they didn't listen, they didn't do the right things. That's one. The other one is we're going to talk about superfoods, and we're going to really get into what each of the different vegetables, for example, what they do and why they're good. Be short, concise, and to the point. But first, let's read this letter from a person that... this is from Dr. Richard Schultz. He wrote a poem of what dead patients told him one by one, but he put it into a letter form that they would have said. This is beautiful because, and I'm reading this to you to inspire you to get your health together, to change your health, and to, because you don't want to wind up your last 5 or 10 years senile and barely able to walk and joint problems and doctors telling you to take this and this prescriptions. We don't want that. We want you to get on the right diet, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the poem of Dr. Schultz from Dead Patients. We screwed up. Don't make our same mistakes. Don't hold back. Don't be stingy. We all waited until it was too late. Now we're sitting on our deathbeds, gasping our last breaths. We all agree we wasted our lives. We didn't really live. We would do anything for a few more hours. But all we can do is warn you, tell you that you are making the same mistakes that we did. We regret letting our fear and complacency rule us. We didn't go far enough. We didn't live enough. We didn't love enough. We didn't take enough chances. We kept our mouths shut and didn't say what we really wanted to say. We should have trusted more and believed more, laughed more and loved more. We should have taken more risks, lived life to the fullest, traveled more, worked less, and had more sex. It's too late for us now. We have so many unfaithful wishes and so many unlived dreams. Please, don't make our same mistakes. Take the chance. Take the leap. Love life and live life to the fullest. Beautiful. That's a poem from Dead Patients to Dr. Schultz. These are things, believe it or not, he's told him. He's written this in many of his literature about patients before they died. They told him they should have listened to him 20 years earlier, 30 years earlier. They should have. And this is not only from Dr. Schultz. This, Dr. Pablo Arriola said the same thing. Dr. Paul Bragg said the same thing, that people, and when they were dying, they told him, well, you know, doctor, we should have listened to you 20 years ago when you told us how to eat, how to live, how to eat, and what to do, and what to get rid of, and what bad habits to stay away from. But we didn't listen to you, and now we're dying. This is so true. And here he wrote this, I love this part, and he talks, we didn't love enough. In other words, love more. we didn't take enough chances. There you are. Take more chances. We kept our mouths shut and didn't say what we really wanted to say. In other words, speak up. Speak up and say what's on your mind. You've only got one life and only one time. You won't regret anything later. So therefore, the essence of this poem is eat better, think better, stay positive, stay away from bad habits, exercise, be around positive people, stay away from negative issues and people. Live your life to the fullest and live well. As we wind down our show, I've only got a few minutes left. I wanted to do, and it's probably don't have the time to do it, but very briefly, superfoods. And I want to run down all these for the next show, next time we have them. I'm going to run down all the different superfoods and what each of them do for you. For example, beets. This is in alphabetical order. Drink beet juice to nourish the liver. Cabbage. Cabbage is high in vitamin K and cancer-fighting substances. And on, carrots. Their bright orange color, carrots, is what makes everything so well. They're protective, they're disease-fighting, they're antioxidants. All right, let's wrap up the show. I'm Bobby Elias. I want to thank all the great people on this show and let you know the next few weeks we're going to have more on aging, more on health, more on how to live better with some major, major issues and papers and information on that. And we've got some great guests coming up in the next few weeks. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. I want to thank our staff at PRN, starting with the director at PRN. Lost for the name here. We've got several people that work really hard in the New York office, starting with the gentleman that runs the group. Boy, I've lost my head here, so I'm spinning because we got to finish the show up. I want to thank the entire PRN staff. I want to thank our staff here in Los Angeles, Jimmy D, the producer. I want to thank our other producer, Stuart, who's been doing a lot of great, great work. I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. Thank you so much. Tune in again next week, Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Thank you.
There's a moment somewhere we soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family. And the truth